From Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, roll tide, roll. Muddy water, Mississippi, blessed Graceland.
Welcome back to the Jeff Forrest Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. We're broadcasting at the Alabama State House, one last time in this building. Thanks again to Majority Leader Paul Lee for letting us use the conference room here in the leader's office. This is the this is where it began when I was here working for working at WVNN in Huntsville. And back then, it was Ledbetter was still Majority Leader, and he let me use this the room across the hall to do my first show at the Alabama State House, and we've been here kind of off and on ever since in this room, so I guess it's kind of a nice finishing touch. Still a couple of programs. Scott Stadhagen in about 30 minutes. We'll lead up top to 10 o'clock hour. Our friend Shane Stringer, who will do a kind of a makeup rain check appearance here. He wasn't able to be with us on Monday. And then the 11 o'clock hour, Stephanie Holden Smith with the Alabama Policy Institute will come and stop by. So make sure you stick around for that. One more time, text line 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, text me. I will get to your text. Just keep them coming, and we will have time throughout the program to hit those. Joining us here now in the Majority Leader's office, State Representative Mark Gidley from Hoke's Bluff. That's up near Gadsden, for those of you wondering where that is. But, Representative, how are you?
I'm doing great this morning, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. I do appreciate you making time for the program.
Absolutely.
We always do, yeah. You've been on a few times. I was kind of going through who to ask, and I'd ask you to come on in these State House appearances. But I'm glad we got you on here before the bell rang. I guess we'll start out. I mean, we all know we're all versed in sort of the dramatic session, but otherwise, how's it going?
Well, everything's going pretty good. We're wrapping up. You know, we got today and tomorrow, and I know it's going to be probably some late. Probably, I don't know what the night will be tonight. We got the sign at our party this evening at from 5 to 10. And then, of course, tomorrow we'll be here, I'm sure, until we finish up the calendar. So, everything seems to be moving, rocking along pretty good.
Yeah, some good. You got some bills that are very important to you. Commandments, chaplain bill. Kind of walk us through some of these achievements.
Well, I will, and thank you so much, Jeff. I'll do that. Let me start with a first bill that we got off that we've completed about 2 or 3 weeks ago now, was the elder abuse bill. That was a bill that was brought to me by our probate judge in Edgewall County. Didn't realize that we had a serious problem with this, as we do. Didn't quite make it last year, but made it this year. Gets a lot of attention, especially in the mental health community. I understand that it's an issue, so I was thrilled to get that done. We'll hopefully get that. Hopefully, it's already been signed. We'll do our ceremonial signing sometime in the future. The school chaplain's bill that was completed this week. The HB8, which is the House version, came off of the Senate floor this week. Completed that bill. Very, very excited about that. That enables us to do for our teachers and administrators in our schools what we do for almost every other entity in the nation, such as our law enforcement, military, on down the line, is offer them a support structure there that is will be confidential, somebody they could go to if they're having a need. And what's amazing is in my district, there was a tremendous tragedy happened just this past week of one of the seniors fixing to graduate was killed in a car accident, and her mother's the custodian at that school. So, you know, a chaplain could have come in very helpful, maybe to offer some support there. So I'm very excited about that. And then our Ten Commandments, which would allow the Ten Commandments to be put in our schools in our historical setting, is the Senate version. Hopefully, we're going to get that on the calendar tomorrow. If we do, that is finished and completed as well. And why that's important, Jeff, is not to indoctrinate our students, but to educate them about the documents that were a very vital part of the formation of the mindset when this country was founded almost now 250 years ago. I think it's important we bring that back. It's not, you know, some people say, well, you're putting that in. No, we're not. We're just returning what's been removed because they were there for over 200 years. So it's very important. Those are together. They got some other bills, had a grooming bill, probably not going to quite get through this year. that protected our children. We'll work on that one again for next year. And so some very important things to me, and I'm excited about the progress we've made so far.
Well, your Senate counterpart, Keith Kelly, and I, we had a long discussion about this and the removing. It's not as if this is a state-sponsored thing, but the Ten Commandments needs to be alongside copy of the Constitution, Declaration Correct. Of Independence, Magna Carta, Correct. Or whatever, and just have that display. So when I was going to public schools in Alabama, Right. you had a – it was like the Rotary Club or somebody would have all these documents
Exactly.
up there.
Yes.
And then the, like, Freedom From Religion crowd came in, and they – believe it or not, in Alabama, sort of scared all these school systems away, and they started taking these things down.
Well, and here's the thing, Jeff, and I've used this analogy quite a bit. And let me say, too, kudos to Senator Kelly. He has been a champion on this. He's been as passionate about this as I have, and he's really championed this in the Senate, and I greatly appreciate that. And great kudos out to Senator Kelly for his hard work on getting it all the way back here now to the House. But I've mentioned this a number of times. You know, the number one, the most important part of any building is the foundation. Okay. You start eroding the foundation, or if you don't lay a strong foundation, you won't have a strong building, no matter how pretty it is on top of the ground.
Right.
Regardless of what people say, our foundation of this nation was built on those Judeo-Christian principles. They just were. Okay. Some people say, well, you know, what if they want to put the Quran in or whatever? And my answer to that in committee a few weeks ago was that was not part of what
part
was
of
part
our
of foundation.
Our foundation. Right.
It wasn't there. What was there was the Ten Commandments and alongside other documents that it influenced, okay, that were founding principles of our nation. It's part of the foundational structure and pillars of our nation. People can say they don't like religion. They don't have to be a Christian to be an American.
Right.
But you must recognize what our foundational principles were and what were those pillars that made our country what it is. And that's simply what this is doing. This is not indoctrinating. This is educating. And as you said, putting this alongside other documents that are part of our foundation to make sure we get our students get a full gamut of what it was that created the mindset of the greatest nation on the planet.
Well, and, you know, a little more into this discussion, things, I think, started going off the tracks when we started trying to strip out.
Absolutely.
You know, organized religion from schools or whatever, you know, not organized religion, but the ability to organize among students. And then they really cracked down on it. And, like, you know, whatever you say, maybe it's a broader cultural thing that's going on in society or whatnot. But, I mean, even that you could probably trace back to this movement, this, like, secular movement to push all this out of our public sphere.
Well, and we know, Jeff, that our founders put some very strong guidelines in there to make sure they didn't have what they had in Europe,
right.
where Europe created a religious structure and required them to attend that. They put structures there for that. But never did our founders separate the idea that we needed God's intervention in all that we were doing. Benjamin Franklin said it very strongly in 1787 when they were trying to create this new constitution and get away from the Articles of Federation that we went under and trying to create a new constitution that would guide this country. They were in a brawl and in a confusion and whatever, and it couldn't come together. Benjamin Franklin stood to his feet and said, I was young and now I'm old. And he said, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, neither can a nation rise to power without his aid. George Washington dismissed that convention for a day. They went back to their respective places for a day of fasting and prayer, came back together and wrote the greatest constitution on the planet of the earth. So that's ever been on the earth. So you understand, our founders understood without the guiding hand of God in what we did, that never we would have what we have and never have a successful nation. So they never separated religion from our national government.
They said,
we're not going to let you create a church and require people to come to
it. The Church of the United States.
That's
like
right.
The Church of England.
And persecute
or whatever.
Them if they didn't. But we're not going to separate the principles of the hand of God from the foundation of this nation. Never were those things separated until, like you said, we had liberal ideas that begin to do that. And I'm going to tell you, since we took proud of schools and whatever, are we better for it?
Well,
okay, that's
like
a simple question.
To me, it's just this progressive movement where you don't put your higher power becomes the government. Your higher power
exactly.
becomes our government institutions.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that people are going down to the DMV to pay homage to the government, but you're always human nature is to always seek out something bigger than yourself, even though sometimes some people make it about themselves, but it's become the government, the state, mm-hmm. where we're looking for answers to problems for everything.
Exactly.
This was so true during COVID. I really, really picked up on it then. And, you know, pushing aside, I think there's power in a spiritual lifestyle, whatever, you know, your persuasion is. Who am I to judge? But this is what the secularists who want government to be. It's like the old Soviet Union.
Right.
They want the government to be that higher power.
Exactly. And our founding fathers were very adamant that our rights come from God, not the government. And you're exactly right, Jeff. When we move that foundational principle away, then all of a sudden the government wants to become God. And that's where you get into socialism, which is the precursor to communism. And where you have a handful of people controlling everything that everybody's doing in the nation. So we can't do that. We got to keep our focus on the fact our government, our rights come from God, not the government. And when we move away from that principle, we're headed down a slippery, slippery slope.
It was Billy Graham in his sermons talking about socialism and that being a system for saints. Mm-hmm. But we're sinners and capitalism fits more the mold of what just the whole entire human experience because we are self-motivated, but expecting socialism to work, to expect people to just get on the same page and go in a similar direction, it just doesn't work in every, some places, I guess, like Western Europe and Sweden or whatever, but typically that experiment always falls on its face.
Yeah, absolutely does. It has never succeeded, and it removes people's freedoms. And
right.
So, you know, I hope we can, you know, I hope, Jeff, that we're seeing this pendulum swing back just a little bit in the country, and it'll continue to do that. Not that we want to force people, like I said, to go to church or whatever, but to always never forget.
You want to give these people the ability, the option, if they so choose. You don't want to take it away from them.
Right.
And that's what we have done in government, in our public spaces even, that we have taken the option away. It's like a government ban on religion.
Exactly.
And it's taken away freedoms, and that's the direction it's going in. And that's very un-American.
It is, Jeff.
Well, let's pivot here real quick. I guess not so much surprisingly, but whatever your take is, but just sort of how the Iran situation unfolded. You keep close watch on this stuff, and as it pertains to Israel, what did you make of it?
Well, let me back up and say, you know, we've seen what's happened with the Iranian regime now for almost 50 years.
Right.
They've been the state sponsor of terror. We know that what happened in Israel October 7, 23, was no doubt funded by Iran, Hamas, also Hezbollah, and those different things. We know what their words have always been. They want to take down the great Satan, which is America,
right.
And then the little Satan, which is Israel. And they have no intent of living alongside anyone in peace. They want to be dominant. And what we've seen, I believe, Jeff, from my perspective, what we've seen for the last 50 years is, as I heard someone say, I believe it was yesterday, we have former leaders that have kicked the can down the road dealing with Iran. Donald Trump has gone in and dealt with it. Now, I have some people that say that maybe this is being a little bit too severe, what we're doing. But I want to tell you something. Let's just take, for example, a physical problem, Jeff. You know good and well, if you go to the doctor early and he finds something, deals with it early, it can be somewhat not invasive. But if it's allowed to stay and linger on and on and on and on and on, by the time you deal with it, sometimes it has to be super invasive. And I think that's exactly what we've done with Iran. I think that we've allowed this thing to go on so long now that there has to be extreme measures taken to stop this. Because if they ever had got a nuclear weapon, and I'll tell you, I don't think our government, Republican or Democrat leaders over the last 40 years or 40 years plus, have really taken seriously the importance of dealing with this and what was going on in Iran. Now, so for our safety, for the safety of Israel, and I think for the entire Middle East, yes, Iran has to be stopped. They do. And I applaud Donald Trump for having the guts and the courage to take that on, okay? Now, let's look at the other side of this coin. We know that they are not only an oppressive government or a terrorist government to outside entities, they're also an oppressive government to their own people. I mean, look at what we've seen in the last few weeks with three stalwart athletes that were hung. Now an 18-year-old girl that's been hung just because she spoke out against the government and spoke up for religion, for Christianity, and she was hung at 18 years old. And then the millions that they've killed, thousands that they've killed, just of their own people, and how they live in oppression. I mean, and we talk about, you know, here in this world, a country here, we talk about rights for women. They have no rights there. No. None whatsoever, okay? So I also look at it as an opportunity, and I sure hope and pray that's the way it will be, not only for the Middle East and America and Israel to be in a safer situation, but for those people of Iran to have an opportunity to experience freedom. I heard somebody, I don't remember where I was at, radio or something, I heard somebody talk about someone that left there back when the everything happened in the late 70s. They fled
right,
and have never been able to go back and see their family again because you can't. That's not the way we as human beings need to live on the earth. So does something need to be done with Iran? Absolutely. I applaud Donald Trump for being having the courage to take that action. I hope it will end quickly. I hope it will end decisively. I hope there'll be very small loss of innocent life in this situation, by all means. But I'm hoping that this is going to end with bringing freedom to that region and safety to that region that we haven't seen now in 50 years.
Representative, we got to leave it there, but I do thank you for making time. I know it's a very busy day, but the gesture is very appreciative.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate being on.
State Representative Mark Gidley there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.